turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. It's a second message, probably the end one, unless it goes too long this evening, on discovering and finding out the will of God for our lives. And the title of this message is Proving What is the Acceptable and Perfect Will of God. Proving what is the acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 again. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word and thank you for this chapter that explains to us how we are to find out what God's will is for us. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help me as I share this message. Please make it plain. And Lord, I pray that you'd help our young people especially to use this in their lives to find out what you want them to do with their lives. Lord, I pray that they would serve you all their days. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So last week we looked at the prerequisites that God has laid out for us in verses 1 and 2 that we must first fulfill, right? That's what a prerequisite is. We have to fulfill these things ahead of time in order to be able to discern properly what the specific will of the Lord is for each of us. And those prerequisites, real quickly, again, are number 1, we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, we must choose to cross over Jordan and choose to live a mature Christian life. Make the decisions that are pleasing to God. And then secondly, we must deny ourselves conformity to the world. Deny ourselves conformity to the Lord. Be not to the world. Be not conformed to this world, the Bible says there in verse 2. And then number 3, we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we talked about the simplicity of doing this. It may be a hard thing to wrap our mind around, but it really is a simple thing. To be transformed by the renewing of our mind simply is to confess and forsake sin by beseech God to transform and renew us, to actually ask Him to do this in us. And then, thirdly, by reading and discovering everything we can about the Lord Jesus Christ. We are renewed in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that. If we do these three things first, these three prerequisites, then we will be in the proper spiritual state of mind and spiritual state period of walking with the Lord, that we will then be able to begin to understand what God's will is for us, truly what God's will is and not our own. Without submitting to God in these three ways, without sacrificing our wants, wishes, and desires and giving them up, and being His true follower, we'll never be able to discern what God's will is. Our self will always get in the way. And until we do those three things, we really aren't being His true follower. We aren't really being a true disciple of Jesus Christ. A disciple follows the teachings of the Master. To follow someone's teachings is not simply to, well, I will pick and choose. No, it's to obey all of His teachings. It's to obey all of His teachings. So to be a true disciple of Christ is to obey all of what Jesus Christ tells us to do in His Word. And until we do these three things, God does not promise that He will even begin to show us what His will is for us. He wants us to do these three things first, and then He will begin to lead us and direct us to what He wants us to do. We may be a saved Christian. We may have followed Jesus as far as salvation is concerned, but too many Christians only follow that far. Okay, we need to follow Christ all the way. We need to choose to live for Christ. Too many Christians choose to live for themselves, and then they expect the Lord to share with them what your will is for me, Lord. Well, why would God share what his will is for someone who is living for themselves. They're still just going to live for themselves. So we need to choose to live for Christ. It is Christ who bought us and paid for us and redeemed us. Until we do these three things, there is just simply too much of our own selfishness in the way to properly discern what God's will is in contrast to what my will is. Okay? So we must do these three things first to get my will submitted to God's will. To get myself sacrificed to God and to what He wants me to do. So that was last week's message. And if you missed that, you probably need to go back and listen to that to understand where we're going to go today. But now we're moving on, and we are now preaching. I'm preaching to what I assume and I hope is those who have made those three sacrificial decisions already to live for Jesus, because this message won't do you any good unless you have made those three sacrificial decisions already, that you will deny yourself conformity to the world, that you have presented your body a living sacrifice, and that you are trying to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, so if we are doing those three things, now how do I figure out what is God's perfect will for my life? So those are the first three key things to understand and to apply. And then in verse 2, we see the next key to finding God's will. The next key, which we touched on at the end of last week's message, but now I want to open it up a bit more. Verse 2 again says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove." That ye may prove. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? This is the key. Proving. Proving His will is the key that we must take with us from here on out until we die, until we go to heaven. Don't ever leave this key behind of proving. Don't unlock one door of God's leading and leave this key in the doorknob as you go through it. Take this key with you, okay? You're going to need it for the next door. As I mentioned last week, even after making the commitment to live for Christ by doing those three prerequisites, not conforming to the world and so on, even after you've made those commitments required of us in verse 1 and 2, you and I will still not be receiving a golden letter from heaven. We still won't be receiving that golden letter. I wish I could get one, but I don't get one. Heaven's post office just doesn't get to down here, all right? God isn't going to send us a letter plainly saying, "Derek Seeley, I want you to do this, and then I want you to do that, and then I want you to do this." I just don't get one, and you don't either. Even after we begin living for the Lord properly. You see, God reveals to us His will slowly, slowly. One puzzle piece of life at a time. He's not necessarily going to reveal to a Christian young lady that He wants her to go to the mission field of Zimbabwe before she submits to His leading to get some training from her pastor or some other source in regard to missionary training, missionary life. She may have several pieces of information that she doesn't know that God will slowly reveal to her as she follows His immediate revealed will. She may only know that she is called to be a missionary. She may not know yet that she is called to be a missionary's wife, and his name is so-and-so. She may not have even met her future husband yet. She may not know, and probably does not know, the country God wants her to go to. She almost certainly will not know the town or the city that God is going to put her in, eventually, with her future husband. God reveals His will slowly in His timing and in His timetable. And we must take this key of proving His will with us for the rest of our lives. One thing I did not get in my notes, and I should have gotten in my notes, I thought of it just as I was getting ready to start preaching, is one thing that will affect what is God's will is the physical aspects of our lives. For instance, if I am crippled, then God probably is not calling me to be a missionary in the deep depths of Africa. Probably not. He's probably not calling me to go be a missionary where you have to hike into the jungle, okay? Your physical issues, the physical problems in life do have some bearing on what God leads you to do. He's not unreasonable. He doesn't call someone who simply is incapable, physically incapable of doing something. He doesn't call them to do something impossible for them to do. Okay, so I didn't get that in my notes. Please understand that. He's not going to call a Christian young lady to be a pastor, for instance. He's just not going to do it. He would be going against his word. So the biblical principles fall into line, but also physical things fall into line as well. Are you a lady? Are you a man? If you're a lady, God's not going to call you to be a deacon. He's not going to call you to be a pastor. He may call you to be a pastor's wife. He may call you to be a missionary, to, like Sister Dorcas, to serve ladies and children on the mission field. He may call you to be a missionary's wife, but he's not going to call you to pastor a church on the mission field. So physical things do play into God's will, certainly. Let's not forget that as we go into this. But as we look at this key of proving his will, the mature Christian life is a life of testing. Take the key of proving with you. For instance, not only will you be tested, you're going to be tested, you and I are going to be tested throughout our Christian walk, but you and I are to be continually testing everything. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5:21, please. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. You and I, as Christians, are to be testing everything that we come in contact with, everything that we may allow into our lives, everything that we need to make a decision on. We need to test it or prove it. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And then verse 22, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." So the inference or the implication here, what we can infer from that statement is cast away everything that is bad, everything that appears even to be evil, get it out of our life. Okay, but prove all things. Hang on to that which is good, that which is holy. Turn with me to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, this isn't the only verse. Ephesians 5 and verse 10. Probably everybody knows this one too. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We are to be proving things. And then, of course, what we have already read today, our text verse, Romans 12:2, the last half, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This means we are to be testing everything according to God's word. Does it line up with the holy standard of God's word? Or does it fall short? If we are going to add it to our lives, then it had better meet the criteria of God's word. It had better be a clean, holy, pure thing. Otherwise, we're to get rid of it. We're to bypass it. We're to say, well, here's an option. Does it match God's word? Nope. It has something dirty in it. Get rid of it. Don't let it stay in our life. You can have it in your life long enough to test it, but if it's filthy, then we need to release it and refuse it to have a place in our lives. Hold fast to that which passes the test. Is it clean? Is it holy? Is it pure? Is it good? And so to what I want to do. Do I want to do something that is clean and good and pure and holy, or do I want to do something that, well, it could hamper? It could damage my walk with the Lord. I would be opening myself up to evil influences. If I take this job, if I do this sort of work, okay. So these things all play into what we are going to do with our lives. Hold fast in your life to that which passes the test of God's word, and conversely, discard from our lives that which falls short and fails the test of the Bible. Okay? But we are to be proving everything. Everything, as these verses say. Everything new that comes into our lives should be questioned immediately with the Bible. Don't just accept something because sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so or even pastor so-and-so, he does this. They do this, so it must be okay. No, put it to the test of God's Word. Does it stack up as righteous and holy according to God's Word, not according to brother or sister so-and-so, or preacher so-and-so? We should never assume that something is right. Never assume something's okay just because it is acceptable, maybe even within our own circles. Well, I heard about this thing, and this sister or brother in my church thinks it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, so I'm going to jump right in there, and I'm going to put it to use in my life. Well, test it first. See what the Bible says about it first. Why should we assume that anything new coming out of this world could possibly be okay? Everything that is in the world, the Bible tells us very plainly, everything that is in this world is not of our Heavenly Father. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So if it's new, it's something new. It is probably most likely, for sure almost, not of the Heavenly Father. Put it to the test of God's Word. See if it holds up to the old paths, to the old Bible. But we are to be constantly proving God's will. God's will, okay? Does God want me to make this decision? Does God want me to make that decision? Does God want me to have that job? Does God want me to have this job? Does God want me to buy this piece of equipment? Does God want me to buy that motorcycle? Does God want me to buy that car? Put everything to the test. Find out. Put it to prayer. Put it to the Bible. Is it going to hinder your walk with God? Is it going to be a blessing to your walk with God? We are to constantly be proving God's will because the mind of Christ is far above our own thoughts. The mind of Christ is far above our own thoughts. Turn with me to Psalm 40, please. Psalm 40 and verse 5. Psalm 40 and verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. And thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. You know, really the greatest thing that I can dream up that, oh, maybe I could do for the Lord someday is probably nothing compared to what God truly wants me to do for Him. And the same is true of you. The most fabulous, boy, I wish I could do this for God, and within reason, of course. You know, I certainly don't think the Lord would want me to be the most famous televangelist in the whole world. Usually, televangelists aren't the most spiritual people. But as far as where I'm at and what I possibly could do for the Lord, the Lord's thoughts are far greater than my thoughts. He has a much greater plan than I could probably dream up. It's a better plan, for sure, than I could dream up. But it is a plan that is far more honoring to Him than the plan that I could dream up. Okay? So many, O Lord, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us word, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God's mind, His will, in other words, is far greater than what we could think of that, well, maybe God's will for me is this. No, God's will for you is much greater than that. You need to find the mind of Christ. Isaiah 55, please. Turn there. Isaiah 55. And verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then turn with me back in Romans. Go to Romans 11, please. One chapter back. Romans 11, 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Isn't that interesting that right before Romans 12, the will of God chapter, that God reminds us of the fact that God's ways and God's thoughts and God's plans are far greater than ours? He wants us to know that right before we start getting into Romans 12. How do I find God's will? Remember, His ways are much greater than yours. His plans are much more spiritually rich than yours are. Don't take your path. Find out God's will. Find God's will. It is not a natural thing. It is not a natural thing to be able to know and comprehend the mind of God. Did you know that? It is not in us to naturally be able to comprehend the mind of God. And therefore, if we can't understand the mind of God, therefore it's not natural for us to understand the will of God. It's not natural for us to know His will. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2:14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It is not natural for us to come to a conclusion that God agrees with. Naturally, our self gets in the way, our selfishness, our pride, our own desires, our own wants, and we will naturally come to our own conclusions. Okay, but that is why God wanted us to do those three things, first of all. A living sacrifice. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And because we are saved, and only because we are saved, we can, it is possible, not that we do so half the time even, but it is possible that we can understand His will. Go back to 1 Corinthians 2:16 again. 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 14 said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Verse 16 says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. If you are saved, you have the ability to understand the mind of Christ. It is there for you and I to find, for you and I to discover. He wants us to know His will. It's not like He is trying to keep it from us. It's just our flesh gets in the way. Our flesh gets in the way. We can understand His will by humbling ourselves to Him as He did to God the Father. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We can begin to understand His will for us when we humble ourselves to Christ in the same manner that Christ humbled Himself to His heavenly Father. Philippians 2, 5-8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Remember, we're trying to find the mind of Christ when we're talking about the will of God. We need to know what the mind of Christ is. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation. Notice that. Christ made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled Himself fully and made the decision to be fully obedient to God the Father. And if we do those two things, humble ourselves to the point where we will be fully obedient to God the Father, God can begin to show His will to us. Okay? And directly, go back for, please, to 1 Corinthians 2:14, just to nail this home. In this passage, directly between not understanding, the natural man not understanding the things of the Spirit of God, and then between not understanding and then in verse 16 where we find that we do have the mind of Christ and we can know the mind of Christ, right between not understanding and comprehending the mind of Christ, we find verse 15. What does it say there? But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Ah, we've come back full circle, back to proving now. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. You see, we will always need, if we're going to find the will of God for our life and find the next step, and then the next step, we will always need to take with us this key of proving, judging, testing, trying. It's all the same kind of word. Proving what is acceptable unto God. The difference between never knowing God's specific will for you or discovering the mind of Christ in regard to your life, in other words, finding the will of God for you, the difference between never finding it and finding it is judging or proving all things. That's the difference. Judging or proving all things. These verses tell us that. Verses 14 through 16. Not understanding the things of the Spirit of God, then we judge all things, and then we can discover the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Okay? Take with you that key. Prove all things. Put it to the test of God's Word. God will reveal the next step to you, the next place to put your foot. He doesn't say, I'll reveal the entire path to you. The Word of God says, your Word is a lamp unto my feet. In other words, it's just enough light for the next step. Just enough light for the next step of my life. It's not a spotlight that shows the whole way, all the way to heaven. It's a lamp. Just enough light that I need for right now. Okay? So prove the next step. Test the next step. Find out if it's what God wants for you and I. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. And then we have another key. Go back to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. So we have three prerequisite keys. Then we have a major key. After that, when we begin to finally be ready to find God's will, the proving what God's will is. And then we are given another key in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's the key right there. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We had better not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think of ourselves. Galatians 6:3 tells us, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And you cannot know God's will when you have deceived yourself. Okay? So if we are to find God's will, we have to remain humble. We have to keep a God's mind about ourselves in the forefront of our mind. That I am nothing, God is everything. I am not worthy to be anything. God is worthy of all praise. I don't deserve to do anything but clean the toilets of heaven. Even that is too much for me. I didn't deserve to enter the gate. Okay? But praise God, He bought and paid for me, and you and I have a home in heaven. But our attitude towards ourselves should be low esteem. This high esteem garbage of today is very much garbage. You will not find God's will for you with that kind of an attitude. That, boy, I'm really something. I've got this degree and that degree, and I have this big of an IQ, and man, I am ready for the Lord to use me. God won't use that kind of a person. God must humble that person. He has deceived himself. And 1 Corinthians 4:7, turn with me please to 1 Corinthians 4:7. We need to see this one for ourselves. So 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? You think you're so special? Who is the one that made you smarter than somebody else? Or who is the one that made somebody else smarter than you? God did, certainly not you and not me. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, and of course we did receive everything, we received all of our knowledge, all of our IQ was a gift from God. Our salvation was a gift from God. Everything we have is a gift from God. Now, if thou didst receive it, and we have, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Oh, my. What are you boasting about? You're boasting about all the gifts that God has given to you. You didn't do anything. You took what God gave you, maybe, as far as the IQ that He put in your brain, and maybe you went to school, but God still gave you the ability to go to school. He gave you the health to get up that morning, and He gave you the strength to get your sorry carcass to that schoolroom. God still did it all. What have you that what you did not receive? Nothing. Not a thing. Do not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. So how lowly should I think of myself? I should think of myself as the lowliest. That's what that verse tells us. But in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. In other words, each person that I see is better than I am. Okay? That's how highly I should think. That's how highly you should think of yourself. That other person it has greater talent. God could use that person more greatly than He could use me. We are to have a very low esteem of ourselves. We are to consider ourselves lower than each and every one of our brethren. You see, how can a person rightfully discern God's will for them if they are sure, they are the greatest preacher to ever bless the pulpit of any church? How are you going to find God's will for you if that's already your opinion of yourself? If they are the wisest Christian or the greatest singer or the most successful soul winner, and the list goes on and on, the best of this or the best of that, if that's your opinion of yourself, how are you certain, how are you going to find God's will for you? Your own thoughts have totally corrupted and filled what you presume God's will is for you. You are full of what you assume God's will is for you. Of course, if you are the very best performer in some area of Christian duty, then obviously your opinion is going to be God's will is for you to be fulfilling a position that fits my great performance. That's what your opinion is going to be. If you're the very best performer in some area of Christian duty, the best soul winner or the best preacher or the best singer, then your opinion is going to be, obviously God is going to put me there in that capacity somewhere, in some church. I'm going to be the pastor. I'm going to be the deacon. I'm going to be the song leader. But what if God's will is different than that? Well, you are going to be completely blinded to that. All you will see is what you assume. That's all you're going to see. So do you see, Christian, how you will only come to a selfish conclusion of what God's will is for you and not the honest and true conclusion of what God really wants from you if you and I are puffed up with pride about our abilities or our wisdom? We must crucify self in order to discover what God's perfect will is for our life. Self will get in the way every time. So that's the third key in Romans chapter 12. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. And the next key that we see in Romans chapter 12 has to do with our spiritual gifts. And this is found in verses 4 through 8. And of course, we've covered spiritual gifts, so I don't want to get into spiritual gifts. But the point that the Lord is making with these next verses about His will is God's will always be, it is definitely for sure, He wants you to use your spiritual gift. Whatever God's will for you is, it will always include using your spiritual gift. Okay? If you come to some conclusion that, well, God wants me to do this, and it does not include using your spiritual gift, you can be dead certain you are wrong. Dead certain you are wrong. Let's read the verses. Romans 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Whatever God's perfect, specific will for your life is, it will include your spiritual gift. It will include your spiritual gift. So as you are considering what God wants you to do, be sure a variable is, God has given me this spiritual gift. He does want me to use it. He does want me to use it. His will for me will include my gift. God did not give you and I a gift that he wants us to set on a shelf and never use. He knew what he was doing when he gave that gift to you. Go out and use it. Romans 11:29. Again, one chapter behind the will of God chapter. In chapter 11, he reminds us in verse 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. In other words, God is not going to change his mind later. When he saved you and he put within you your spiritual gift, it was never an accident. He's not going to change his mind later. So you know what? That daughter of mine, that son of mine, I should have given them this one. What was I thinking? He'll never do that. He knows what he's doing. He knows the future. He knows what his plan is for you. It is without repentance. Your gift is permanent. Okay? Go out and use it. So as you consider and pray about and try to discern God's will for your life, be sure one of the variables you put in there is, what is my spiritual gift? God does for sure absolutely want me to use it. And then the final keys to finding God's will in this passage, in this chapter, is a checklist that God gives to us. We are given a list of parameters, first off, verses 1 through 8, a list of parameters that God's will, that how you find God's will. And then we are given a list of parameters that God's will is only found within. In verses 9 through 21, God's will is only found within the righteous things and outside of the unrighteous things. Okay? So let's read verses 9 through 21. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So actually, the list goes into chapter 13. Remember, when the Bible was written, there were no chapter breaks, there were no verses. It was all just one letter. Okay? So this list goes from Romans 12, verse 9, all the way to Romans 13, 1, or 13, 2, you could say. And then it branches off into explaining about being subject unto the higher powers. Okay? But if you include that Romans 13, 1... into the list, well, there you go. There is nothing in that list that is unrighteous that God wants us to have anything to do with. And there is nothing righteous in that list that's not listed in that list. Everything that, any good that we do, you could find it in there. I mean, serving the Lord, that's a pretty broad broad term. Anything good for the Lord you want to do is found right there in that phrase. So we are given a list of parameters that God's will is only found within. Okay? For instance, in adding chapter 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. You say, well, you know what? You're 12 years old, and God's will is for you to go to Penn State University. I've prayed about it. I've asked God about it. I'm 12 years old, and I am going to, when I get older, I'm going to apply and go to Penn State University. But mommy and daddy said no. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Ah, you forgot one little list, one little thing that you have to go by, that has to be checked with, right? Let every soul be subject unto the higher power. Your parents are your higher power. As long as you are under your parents' roof until you're married, you are under your parents' authority. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Okay? This is God's parameter checklist. Is what you think God's will for you? Then run it through this checklist. If it has already passed all that we've already talked about, then this is the last set of checklists that we are to run something through. God's good will for you, His acceptable will for you, and most certainly His perfect will for you, for your life, will never go against something in this list. Very plainly. He's not going to go against His word. If you are faithfully doing the former things that we've already gone through, the three prerequisites and then the two other things that followed, and the three things that followed, the spiritual gifts as well, the third thing. If you have already applied all those six things, now apply this checklist to the idea of what you think is God's will. If you have faithfully done the former things, and then you go through this list comparing what you want to do with each and every one of these things, then you can know if it fits God's acceptable will or not. If it goes past your parents' will, your parents' allowance, young person, that's a big one. That's a huge one. If it fits the rest of them, and your parents say, yeah, I think that's a good idea, then that is most likely God's at least acceptable will for your life. It may not be where He wants you to end up. Maybe He wants you to end up as a missionary in Zimbabwe. But there, you don't just get there today. There are things you must do in order to get there. And so what God wants you to do today is most likely probably not the perfect will, the end result thing that you will do, that God wants you to do, but He's just leading you one step at a time towards His perfect will. If it passes these tests, if it passes your parents' permission, then it is probably within God's acceptable will and within the path that leads to God's perfect will. If what you want to do would not stop you from doing any of the good things on this list, okay? Well, I think I want to be a doctor. Or I think I want to be, a videographer, and I want to be the cameraman for movies. I had a roommate in college. He was attending this Bible college in order to get an accredited degree to go be a videographer in Hollywood. You know what? I don't think that was God's perfect will for his life. But that's what he had decided. I don't think he ran it through the checklist here. If what you want to do would not stop you from doing any of the good things on this list, does it stop you from being in church on Sunday? Does it stop you from being obedient to the commands of God? Does it stop you from serving the Lord? Does it stop you from being does it encourage you to be slothful in business? Well, then it's not God's will. Does it stop you from being kindly affectioned or damage your relationships with Christians, with Christian brothers and sisters. It damages the fact that you are to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Well, then it's not God's will for you, you see. If what you want to do would not stop you from doing any of the good things on this list, and it passes that test, and what you want to do does not fall into any of the negative things mentioned on this list, then it very probably is God's acceptable will. Very probably. God's acceptable, His good, acceptable, and perfect will not go against any of these things. This is God's plan for finding His will. You first do those three things. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And at that point, then, therefore, ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove it. And as you're proving it, don't think of yourself too highly, because yourself will get in the way. And as you're proving it, be sure you apply, does it fit the spiritual gift that God gave to me? And as you're proving it, prove it according to these parameters, verses 9 through 13:1. Does it fit within all these parameters? If it does, praise God. You very, very, very probably have found God's acceptable will for you. If it does not fit one of these parameters, then you have not found God's acceptable will. You have indeed found one of the options that is not God's will for you, actually. As we prove, obey, and follow God's leading in each good thing He shows us to do, you will slowly and eventually discover the perfect will for your life. Young person, you're not going to get a blanket statement from God, I'm going to use you in this way. He gives you light for the next step. He gives you light for the next step. He gives you light for the next step. And as you follow and obey that light, eventually you will end up in God's perfect will, where He wants you to be. This is God's plan for finding His will. Follow God one step at a time. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for Your word, and thank You for Your instruction here. Lord, I pray that it will be useful and helpful, especially to the young people. Lord, I pray that You'd help each one of us to use this, the older folks too. Lord, help us not to forget to prove things. Help us all to be mature Christians that prove and test everything that Satan throws at us, that it, whether it is righteous or unrighteous, whether it is holy or unholy, whether it is clean or unclean. So, Father, I pray that You bless this message now. In Jesus' precious name, amen.